Okay, welcome. Welcome, welcome. So we're having Shir now. Next week is Rosh Hashanah. The week after that, I guess we'll have Shir again between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then I think there's 2 weeks where we don't have Shir because of Sukkot and Simchas Torah. It's very difficult, these Jewish holidays. So, you know, just stand by for the announcements. But assume that, obviously, next week is Rosh Hashanah. And I assume that we'll have Shiur the week following. We are on Daf Yud Zayin Omud Aleph in Masechet Ta'anit. This is Jeff Sachs. It's Web Yeshiva. It's Mishkan Sipora. Here we are live online. Here. On Yud Zayin Omud Aleph in the fat lines about 5 or 6 lines down. The Mishnah had said... The Mishnah had said, "Anshe Mishmar v'anshe Ma'amad asurim l'saper u'l'chabes b'chamishi mutarim mipnei kvoda Shabbat." The Kohanim that are on duty, both the week that you're on duty on standby, as well as the actual day that you're on service in the Mikdash, during that week that you're in Yerushalayim, you cannot take haircuts and you can't do laundry. But on Thursday, you're allowed in honor of the Sabbath, assuming that you are in need of a haircut or in need of fresh laundry. So the Gemara says, "My ta'ama." What is the reason for this prohibition? We're of course familiar with the prohibition of doing laundry and taking haircuts or shaving during Chol HaMoed. And it could be that there's some conceptual connection here between the two. So what's the reason? Omar Rabba Babar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kedei Shelo Yikansu LeMishmartam Keshehein Menuvalim. So that they will not enter their service, the week of their duty, the week of their service, when they are unkempt. You know how it is sometimes before you go on vacation, for example, you're very stressed because you have to, you know, you have to finish up your work because you can't leave certain things behind at work before you leave for the vacation. I know that very often, like before, if I have to go to America, even if I have to go to America for work, let alone for vacation, you know, the last day in the office is always a little stressed because you got a lot to, you want to clear your plate before you leave. And also, if you're traveling, you have to make sure. I know my wife always knows that if I'm going to America for a week or 10 days, she's got to get all the laundry done before I go because I want to take all my clean laundry with me and things like that. But sometimes, depending upon what you're doing, you like leave things behind. It actually happened to me once that I was traveling to America and I was going to be coming back. What was it? Right before the 3 weeks. I was going to be coming back right before the 3 weeks. So you can't take a haircut during the 3 weeks. So I figured, well, you know what? I'll be traveling in America on vacation. I'll get my haircut while I'm there instead of doing it before I leave, because I didn't have time before I left because I was so rushed. So what difference does it make? You're on vacation, you take a haircut, or you do it before your vacation. But here, we want the Kohanim to show up at their week of Miluim, already well groomed and already with clean clothing, and they shouldn't leave it over for that week. So since it's asur for them to do it that week, so obviously they are obligated to do it in advance. This is a similar idea for Chol HaMoed. The prohibition of haircutting and shaving on Chol HaMoed is so that people will be ready for Yontif in advance and not say, "Oh, Chol HaMoed, I don't work, I have time, I can do it." You'll spend your whole Chol HaMoed doing laundry and other types of chores. So it seems that that is the purpose behind this obligation to show up for your week of duty already clean and cut and cleaned.
Tanu Rabbanan. I have a question about this, though. I guess it's about the Kohanim Mishmar, but also more practically about Chol HaMoed. So I remember reading it the same reason given there's the Shavuot, that also Shaloi Kanes LeRegel Menuval.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, let's say you get to a week of Chol Hamoed, so why wouldn't there be at least a heter to, I don't know, get ready for Shemiyat Seret, Last Day of Pesach, you know, for the same consideration, because you would end up being, you'd be Menuval in that, you know, the regel also, but the last day is also even more important, you know.
So in a time when most people had beards, meaning anybody who could grow a beard would have a beard. And as if you cut your hair right before the first day of Sukkot or Pesach, you don't need another haircut by the end of Chol Hamoed. And if your beard is nice and trim, you don't need another beard trim just 6 days later. So that's not the issue. For us, for people who go clean shaven most of the time, so, like, once you have, like, a three-day growth, it already looks maybe a little menuval, you know, while the beard is coming in. So that's a question, you know, only in the contemporary realm where people are clean-shaven, which is not something that the Talmudic era kind of considered, the idea of people being...
Have someone else do laundry for them. I mean, you know, there's, like, ways to, you know, it's certainly the coin. You could have something like that. And, you know, I'm wondering if, like, the reason would override the actual practice in this case, either for the coin or for us.
You know that there are these, you know, certainly in America where people were accustomed to be clean shaven, and the idea of showing up at work with a 2 or 3 day growth, depending upon where you worked, was not something that you could easily get away with, at least not in certain places at certain times. Today, everything goes. I mean, you know, today facial hair is rampant amongst all. You know, people walk around looking like Chassidish Rebbe's or ZZ Top, you know, even though they are not members of either group. But once upon a time, this was not, you know, if you worked in a, you know, in a law firm, there was no such thing as facial hair. Not mustache, not beard, it just didn't go. So Poskim described, you know, what people had to do, what they had to do in order to manage. You know, these are not halachot that are Yaharig Val Yafur, after all. But in principle, this is the halakha. And even though the halakha knew that there were rich people that, you know, doing laundry meant somebody else was doing laundry, you know, that's not what they envisioned, you know, for the Jewish household on Chol Hamoed. So the Gemara says, having mentioned, you know, this requirement to take a haircut before entering your week of Mishmar. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Melech mistaper bechol yom. The Brisa says that the king, the Melech Yisrael, Melech Yehuda, would take a haircut every single day. Kohen Gadol, Me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. The Kohen Gadol would take a haircut every Friday. Kohen Hedyot, Achat l'shoshim yom. And a regular Kohen would take a haircut once a month. Melech mistaper b'chol yom ma'itayma. What's the reason that the king should take a haircut every day? Omar Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, Omar Kra, there's a posuk in Yishayahu, Melech biyofyo techazena anecha. Right, that we should behold the king in his beauty, in his glory, in his splendor. And somehow the idea of being freshly kempt was something that the king had to represent. I remember once hearing from Rabbi Braunspiegel that the Rav, it's in the 60s, had heard that you know, Kennedy, you know, John Kennedy, you know, was you know, a fashion plate. You know, the you know, he changed the style of the way men dressed in the 60s, you know, going forward in terms of the cut of the suit and whatever. Kennedy was also noteworthy for eschewing the wearing of a hat. Gentlemen, he put the kibosh on the kibosh on the hat business. Sales of Borsellino plummeted, and it was only Hamish Yidden that continued to wear hats after Kennedy got rid of it. And it was said that Kennedy, you know, he was aiming for more modern, contemporary style, and also that he had a great head of hair. And apparently, you know, in the White House, there's a barber. Like, there's a full-time barber in the White House that's there, you know, for the use of the people who work in the White House. But there's a kind of pecking order. I mean, anybody can go get their hair cut at any time. But, like, you know, certain people can, you know, I guess the vice president can cut the line of, you know, somebody that works in the communication office. And the president always, you know, goes in, you know, let's say there's like some low-level, you know, assistant, you know, who's in the chair. You know, he could be lathered up with one side clean. President comes in, that guy gets pushed aside. The president goes first. And Kennedy would go and have his hair trimmed and fixed every single day. So the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, apparently said that that's the Melech B'Yofyo, even though the Rav apparently was not such a fan of Kennedy. Kennedy, after all, was from Brookline, a local boy. But the Rav was not a fan of Kennedy because he had suspicions of Catholics. But look at that head of hair. I mean, that's the head of hair. I'm sorry?
I imagine his father was an FSM.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. But Kennedy had that head of hair. You know, where look, every hair is in place. So you see that's like the din of a melech, right? You know, even these things where like how a president should dress, right? I mean, the queen. Look at the queen. Like the queen is always. You never see the queen. You know, like in torn jeans. You never see the queen, you know, with a button out of place. But
you never see her in jeans, period.
That's what I'm saying. So, you never see the queen in informal, even her informal clothing is right. Formal. But the president, you know, it happens like from time to time. There are these scandals, like the time that Obama wore a tan suit and the world exploded because Obama wore a tan suit. Or I think it was Clinton. It's always the Democrats who are less formal. Clinton was photographed. Clinton was photographed in the Oval Office without a suit jacket on and his feet up on the desk or something like that. Or maybe I'm misremembering this. And it was also considered like a scandal. It was considered to be an affront to the dignity of the office he held. You know, that there's a certain sense that a president is supposed to look, you know, a certain way. So that's the din of
the Tanakh supports this. When Shaul was first presented, Bachur Vato Mishichmo Malakavah
Mishah.
When Shmuel is told to go to Yishai's house to look for the new king, what happens? Yishai presents his Bachur, and his Bachur is also Gavoa Vato Roi, and Shmuel says it must be him. And Hashem says, "Al tabeit del mareu v'yotova komato ki ma'astihu ki ha'adam yirela einayim v'Hashem yirela leva." But even David is described as Admoni v'tov roi. Then Avshalom yafel ha'alil mikaf raglo v'yad katkato ein bomum. And then Adonio also is described as v'gam hu toam ha'od.
That leadership that a certain amount of physical charisma is understood to be part of political leadership. I think that it's true that in every presidential election the taller candidate has won.
No, that's not true.
That's not true?
Well, certainly, it's about maybe 2/3, even in the modern era when people pay attention. But just the last election, you know, Trump is taller than Biden. But there's a
perfect example. The election was stolen. Horaya that Trump really won.
About two thirds.
Okay. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara goes on. Kohen hediot el chatal shloshim yom. Kohen Gadol me Erev Shabbos le Erev Shabbos ma'atayma. Why does the Kohen have to take a haircut once a week on Erev Shabbos? Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Ho'il U'Mishmarot Mitchadshot. Because on Erev Shabbos, when the new Mishmeret would come in, they were entitled to see the Kohen Gadol looking his best. Kohen Hedyot Achat L'Shloshim Yom. So a regular Kohen has to take the haircut once a month. Minalan, what's the source? What's the source? What's the source for that? Atya Pera Pera. It's a Gzera Shava on the word Pera. Pera kind of means, I mean, you can't see it, but you see my lock of hair here? It's underneath the shiny bald spot. Like a pera is like a, what do they call that? A blurit. You know, like the wild flyaway hair, the choppa hair. Right? This lock, the locks of your hair that go, I don't think any of us have this anymore. I mean, we need some younger blood in the crew.
Don't look at me.
Okay. But Kennedy didn't have it either because he was so well groomed. But RFK, who's in the news because they're going to give Hanina to Siran, RFK had that chop. Like he was always going, you know, he was always taking his fingers and running them through to toss back the waving, the waves of the hair. So Pera, from the word Pera, we make a Gzera. We make a gzera shava with nazir. It says k'tiv hacha in terms of the kohanim. It says a pasuk in Yecheskel, v'rosham lo yigalechu ufera lo yishalechu. You can't shave the heads of the kohanim, but you also can't let their pera, their locks of hair, Yishaleach, grow long. As the Kohen, he can't be shaved-headed, nor can he be wild-haired. And by Nazir it says, K'tiv hatam kadosh yeh, gadel pera se'ar osho. This is the pasuk for Nazir in Parshat Naso. In Parshat Naso it says, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why that's displaying that way. Hey, the pasuk says, "Kol yamav neder nizro ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho ad melot hayamim asher yazir lashem." That all the days of his nazirus. I don't know why this happens sometimes. That the if I cut and paste it, it doesn't display properly. That all the days of his the neder of his as long as the vow of his nazirut is in effect, so then no razor should pass his head until the days of the Nazirut are up. Kadosh yeh, he is sanctified. Kadosh yeh, gadel pera se'ar rosho. He has to let his hair grow out pera. Right? So just like the pera of the Nazir has to grow, so too, you can't let the Kohen's hair grow pera. It's not what. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. It's a tangent, but I'm wondering: there are times when the Gemara will quote something from those sections in Yecheskel talking about the Kohanim and have it be like a contradiction to the halachot that we know,
mm-hmm.
and other times it will use it to support what the Kohen do, even if it's not necessarily mentioned in the Torah, for example, like here.
Right.
Is there some, like, I don't know, somebody discusses maybe how they look at those rules of Yecheskel, well, when they accept them, when they reject them?
Without knowing the answer to your question, I can say with great assurance, absolutely yes. When you ask, does anyone discuss? So, yeah.
No, has there been, are you aware of something looking overall about how Chazal
approach? I'm not, but our Gemara, as you know from having looked ahead, is going to ask this question about, like, you know, what's the status of something you learn out from a posuk in Yecheskel in terms of halacha lamaaseh? So
I would think that if the posuk clearly contradicts something in the Torah, then they're going to ignore it. But if it essentially seems to be enlarging something in the Torah, then they might use it. And this is a good example. Well,
so malahalan shloshim, afkan shloshim. So just like nazir is a regular nazirut is 30 days, so too by the Kohen, it's 30 days. Right? In other words, a nazir can't shave his head for 30 days, can't cut his hair for 30 days. And so too, the opposite, a Kohen who can't be pera, has to cut his hair at least every 30 days. So the Gemara asks, V'nozir gufa menalan, and what's the source that a nazir can't cut his hair for 30 days? Omarav matna stam nazirut shloshim yom. Now, as if somebody says, I'm saying this only for demonstration purposes, not with the intention of accepting a nazirut on myself. If somebody says, Hare nazirut alai, I accept nazirut, well, what is nazirut? We know what the prohibitions of nazirut are, but does it mean forever? No. A stam nazirut, unless you specify otherwise, nazirut was not meant to be a permanent condition. It was a temporary affair. And unless you specify otherwise, stam nazirut is a month, is 30 days. So just like nazirut is 30 days, so too the length of time that a Kohen can go without cutting his hair is 30 days. So minalan, so how do you know that, obviously nazirut, and obviously the prohibition of a nazir cutting his hair or drinking wine or becoming tameh, obviously that's in the Torah. But the one thing that's missing is this idea that a nazirut is 30 days. The Torah doesn't specify any time frame. So what's the source for the idea that nazirut, unspecified nazirut, is 30 days? It's from a gematria. What's the gematria? Omar kra yihieh. The pasuk says, kadosh yihieh, gadel pera se'arosho. Yihieh. 10, 5, 10, 5 equals 30. Okay, so I mean it's a gematria Latina.
Some places there's a halacha that really is learned out from a gematria.
Yeah,
a little strange.
So that's the question of like, what is this halacha? is the gematria a makor, or is the gematria a kind of asmachta? That kind of hints at something which was part of the Torah Sheba'al Peh that was built in between the lines. Shalom, what were you saying?
There's more than that, that 30 days is the minimum. In other words, you can't say that I'm going to be a Nazir for 15 days. There's no such thing as a Nazirut that's less than 30 days.
That's built into this idea of 30. In other words, according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, who said, right? If I don't know the Torah Shebaal Peh, I can look in the Torah and say a person could be a Nazir for a day, right? So where do you get this idea of 30 being the set Nazirut and also the minimum Nazirut? From this gematria of Yihieh. So have Omer Le Rav Papa Labaye V'dilma Hochi Ka'omer. No, maybe... maybe this is what the Rachmona means. Maybe this is what the Torah is saying. Lo lirabu klal. But maybe what the Torah means is that they should, when Yecheskel said ufera lo yishalechu, they shouldn't let their hair grow long. Maybe lo doesn't mean 30 days. Don't let it grow longer than 30 days. Maybe it means that they should never grow their hair at all. In other words, why is 28 days of hair growth okay, but 30 isn't? Maybe this prohibition of don't grow your hair means you gotta go to the Jeff Sachs barber. You gotta go Kojak. So the Gemara say, obviously that's just a Havamina. Kidika Amart. Omar Le, Ihavi Katav Lo Yishalchu Pera. Kidamart. If it only said, don't let your hair grow, so then I would accept that Havamina. It would be as you said. Hashtu dichtiv. But since, in fact, it says, Ufera lo yishalechu, right? Don't, and as instead of saying, don't grow your hair long, it says, don't let your hair grow long. In other words, there's no prohibition of them having hair. They just can't let it grow long. How long is long hair? That's 30-day growth. Perele have. Shluchei hu delo yishalechu. He can have a chop of hair. He just can't let it go. He just can't let it go too long. And therefore, the Kohen cannot let the hair go more than 30 days. So, Ihachi.
There's an interesting comparison here.
Yeah.
To, when the Levi is commanded, it says, Ve'eviru ta'ar al kol psaram. So, what does that mean? It means that they took off all their hair. But is there any indication that they had to repeat that process periodically?
No. It was upon the initiation. Right? It was upon the initiation. It wasn't the kind of thing that you were. Like the eunuchs in some ancient societies had to, like, they were hairless. They would constantly shave all the hair off their body, top to bottom. But no, that was not a Jew. It was that one-time thing as part of the initiation. So Ihachi, so the Gemara now asks, okay, so a Kohen has to keep himself neat. So Melech, we don't have Melech today. And we don't have Kohen Gadol today, who would have to cut his hair once a week. But we do have Kohanim. Or at least we have people that purport to be Kohanim. So how come this halacha doesn't apply to them ha'idna nowadays? Now, what would be the havamina that it would apply to them nowadays? Bizman hazeh?
Any time the Beit HaMikdash could be.
Yeah, well, we just saw last week the Gemara was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was open to the idea that in principle, Kohanim Bizman Hazeh should never be allowed to drink, because today, Kohanim do not know which Mishmar they're part of, and it could be any given day of the week is a safek that today is their day to serve in the Mikdash. V'yibonei HaMikdash right now, they'd have to run off to do Avodah, and therefore, every Kohen today should be ready for the call. And should never be allowed to drink. And therefore, the Kohanim today should be ready for the call and always have their hair kempt at least once every 30 days. At least once every 30 days. So, afilu ha'idna nami dumya tishtu ayayin. This can be compared to the case we saw last week about drinking. Mashtu ayayin bizman biyahu. So just like the prohibition on a Kohen to drink wine applied when he was entering into the Mikdash, the Asur, Shelo Bizman Bia Share, but the rest of the time he was allowed to drink. Af Hochanami, in this case as well. Vatanya Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani Kohanim, Asurim lishtot yayin leolam, aval ma'e seshe takanato kilkalato, v'omer abaye kaman shatu ha'idna kahane chamra. How do Kohanim drink wine today? According to the opinion of Rabbi. Right, Rabbi, who thinks like in principle we shouldn't allow Kohanim to drink today, but what can we do? There's no way around it. So too the cutting of the hair. We don't require Kohanim to cut their hair every 30 days. Michlal de Rabbanan Asri. But if Rabbi Yehuda, when Abaye says, according to whose opinion do we allow Kohanim to drink, and we say it's Rabbi's opinion, that implies that there are others, that there were Chachamim who disagreed with Rabbi and hold that Enochinami, Bezman HaZeh Kohanim are not allowed to drink. My Taima, Mehera Yibone HaMikdash, Uva'inan Kohen HaRu'ui La'avoda. And they would forbid the Kohanim from drinking, because maybe Beis HaMikdash will drop from heaven right now, and we need Kohanim that are at the ready to go to work. Veleka, and we won't find them, because all the Kohanim will be drunk. I mean, it's like a little strange, the idea that, like, you know, all the Kohanim are going to be drunk all at the same time. You won't find a single Kohen who's the designated driver, who's ready to do, the Avoda. So, Hocha Efshar.
David raised last week. But anyway, everybody's Tomei.
No, that was a question we answered last week of Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. Right? And as Beis HaMikdash is built, until we can get the Paraduma going, so the Kohanim are allowed to do Avodah. Because Tuma is allowed in a case where there's no other option.
If that's the case, then why don't we just, what's preventing us from doing the... I always felt like we can't rebuild the Beit HaMikdash or do things like that because of the Tuma issues. So if Tuma is the Beit HaMikdash, then why, what's preventing us from starting...
Speak to the crowd over at the Sanhedrin, who think that we should be doing that.
They're not the only opinion. Some people have said that people get excited about the Paraduma or whatever. They say, then we can finally start doing things. So is that everyone agrees that if there's that we can start, they can start Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash even if everyone was done it?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think Rabbi Yisrael Salanter originally said that you could build a mishpach, but not the whole thing. Because that's what they did in the Second Temple times too. But they didn't get around to the whole Geshichta until a couple of decades later. I remember Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wrote a book that was similar to, the forerunners of Zionism, forerunners of Zionism. So... Jeffrey, what you're saying is definitely something. David, is definitely something to think about.
Anyway, we have to finish up a little early tonight, so there's some of us have to get to Marav and Slichos. But the Gemara says, so Enachinami, so there is, even according to the opinion that Kohanim should not drink today, that they would not require that all Kohanim have to be groomed once every 30 days. Why? Efshar de misaper v'ayil. Because it's not a big deal to take a quick trim and go up to Beis HaMikdash. But if you're hung over, like, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. So ihachi shetui yayin nami. So too, a person who's drunk. Efshar de gane purta v'ayil. So let him take a snooze. Let him take a snooze and run up to the Beis HaMikdash. Kiderami Baraba, according to the opinion of Rami Baraba, de Omer Rami Baraba, derech mil v'shena kolshehu mafigin et hayayin. If you've had a little too much to drink, so if you take a walk, if you take a spatzir of a meal is, of course, a distance. It's what we call the amount of time it takes to walk, about 18 minutes. That's our shi'ur for walking a meal. You know, that's where we get these numbers from, 18 minutes and 72 minutes, 72 being 4 milin, right? The amount, 18 times 4. All these halachic times are rooted in this base number. So if you take a walk outside in the fresh air for 18 minutes, or if you take a little sleep at all, you take a little nap, so then it wipes out the wine in your system. For the purposes of being tipsy in a way that you're not allowed to do certain things, like the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, or davening, or Kriya Shema, things like that. Lav mi it ma'ala. Lav mi it marla, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba, Barabuha, Lo Shanu Ella, Bisheshata Shi'ur Revi'it. Aval Shata Yotem Revi'it, Kol Shekein Shederech Matridato Vishena Mishachrato. So that's talking about if you've only had a Revi'it of wine. A Revi'it of wine is like a regular sized Kiddush cup. It's like three, I mean, you know, it's a machlokas, but let's say it's like 3.3 ounces is a reviat of wine. Now, that's not a whole lot of wine. Most of us could drink a reviat of wine and operate heavy machinery and be perfectly sober. But the halacha is that you're not supposed to daven. You're not supposed to daven if you, forget avoda. None of us are doing the avoda anytime today. Meher Yibonei Amikdash, of course.
Oh, they do Birkat Kohanim, though.
Birkat Kohanim, correct, is a problem. Kohen is not, that's why we are careful. First of all, Birkat Kohanim is done at a time of day before most people have started to hit the sauce. But sometimes, you know, when there's a Kiddush in Shul, like on Simchas Torah coming up, often, you know, after everybody stops to get their Aliyah, there's a Kiddush, there's a whatever, and that's before Musaf, before the, so they always tell the Kohanim that they shouldn't drink, they shouldn't have any liquor, because they're going to duchen again at some point. Although by the time, the amount of time between the Kiddush and the duchening at Musaf is usually long enough, they can have more than a reviyas of one. But all of this idea of like waiting a little bit or taking a little nap, that's for a reviyas of wine. But if, I mean, there's a certain amount of drunk that waiting 18 minutes and even sleeping is not going to help. And if you're really drunk, if you're really, really drunk, so then going out for fresh air is going to make you more tipsy. And going to sleep is going to make you even more drunk, because the body continues to digest and absorb into the bloodstream the alcohol that's in your stomach and your intestines. It makes you even more, you know, sometimes you're like a little, you know, Purim, on Purim you get a little tipsy and, you know, you conk out. And then, you know, if somebody wakes you up an hour later, you feel even worse. So there, Gunish Helfen, nothing's going to help you. So, Seder. Okay, we're going to stop here so that we can get to Maariv and Slichot. We'll continue. Not next week is Rosh Hashanah. I wish you all a Ksiva v'chasima tova, a Shana Tova, and we'll continue, I guess, during a Seret Yemei Tshuva, you know, unless there's some other announcement.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.